Money. It's something we think about every single day. Whether we have enough, where it's going, and what it's doing to us. For some, it's the pressure of living paycheck to paycheck, always wondering how to stretch every single dollar. For others, it's the desire for more, always searching for the next promotion, the next raise, the next big purchase that promises fulfillment. But no matter how much we have or how little, money always seems to bring the same question. How do I manage this without letting it control me? For many, the stress comes from not knowing how to handle it in a way that honors God. Am I supposed to save more, spend more, give more? What does it really look like to handle money in a godly way? And what if I'm getting it all wrong? What does God actually have to say about how I should manage my finances? In a world that constantly tells us to chase after more, can we trust that God's way with money is any better? What if there's freedom in handling money the way He designed us to? You see, this week we're gonna be diving into what it means to manage our money with wisdom and faith.
Well, good morning, Northridge Church. Great to gather together as the church. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. Go ahead and grab your physical or digital Bible. You can turn to Matthew chapter 25. Also, you can take notes in our Northridge Church app for today's sermon. And, you know, money is the topic that no one really wants to talk about. Money is something that can easily make us feel uncomfortable. It's a topic that some of us, we just care to just avoid altogether. And yet money plays such a crucial role in our everyday lives. In fact, our culture tells us that money rules the world. And so we have to have some semblance of understanding of how we should manage it and what does God have to say about it. And yet for many, money is a great source of tension because of the mismanagement of what God has given them. In fact, I just want to give you a glimpse this morning of how America has managed its money. In fact, you were given a candy bar when you came into one of our physical locations. That candy bar is not for eating, at least not yet. But what we've done is we've broken down America into certain percentages based off of candy bars. And so when you hear your candy bar, I'm going to ask you just to stand. I know it's maybe a little awkward for you to stand in front of everybody, but it's all right. You're in a safe place. So let's start with those of you who have a payday. Go ahead. If you got a payday, go ahead and stand up. It's only going to be a few of you because this is 2% of America. And if you have a payday this morning, good news, you are a millionaire. Woo, baby, you're like picked right this morning. Let's go. 2% of America is a millionaire. So what that means is they've stuck to a budget. They've invested wisely. They've avoided debt. And now they are preparing for early retirement and leaving a legacy for their family. Paydays, you can go ahead and sit down. Now, the next candy bar, this is going to sound good. You probably like, yeah, this is the one I want. 100 grand bar. If you got 100 grand bar, go ahead and stand up. Yep, there's more of you here because this is 10% of America. And what this means in this 10% is you are doing financially well. Again, you've lived by a budget, you have avoided debt, you've paid cash for your cars, and now you're thinking of truly gearing up and investing for retirement. And so you are doing financially well. Congratulations, 100 grand, you can go ahead and sit down. Now you'll notice if you're adding up, that's 12% of America. 12% of America is doing financially well. But now things start to change. Because a lot of you have a Nestle Crunch bar. If you've got one, go ahead and stand. This is gonna be the big mass of our crowd this morning because this is 70% of America. 70% of America is feeling the financial crunch. Do you see what I did there? Pun intended, the financial crunch of your finances. Because 70% of America has debts. 70% of America has a car loan that is worth about $30,000. They have student loans that are worth about $50,000. and credit card debt, about $17,000. And to make it worse, here's where the crunch comes in. This group, this 70% of America, if they were to have an emergency in their home, right, whether the furnace stopped working or the car breaks down, they don't have $500 saved to pay for that emergency. Nestle Crunch, thank you. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Now, the next category is the zero bar. I'm sorry. Here's the great news. If you got a zero bar, you can stand. Here's the great news about having a zero bar. It's the only full-size candy bar that we gave out. So congratulations. But here's the bad news. If you have a zero bar, you represent 16% of America and you are bankrupt. You can no longer pay your bills. And you can imagine this category of America feels the stress of their finances every single day because the bills keep piling up. Zero bars, you can sit down. But wait, there's more. There's one more candy bar left. You didn't want this candy bar because it's a milk dud. If you got a milk dud, go ahead and stand up. I am sorry. Here's the good news. This is the best flavored candy of the bunch, at least according to me. But if you're a milk dud, you are worse than bankrupt. In fact, you have all the same debts as everybody else. Your sums are just way larger. And for 2% of America, they have no hope that their financial situation will ever change. It's become that bad. Milk Duds, thanks for doing that. Go ahead and grab a seat. And here's the point, right? If you're not paying attention, if you don't add up the amounts, here's the reality for America. 88% of America has a severe financial condition. 88%. And aren't we the richest country in the world? Don't we have access to the most amount of means and opportunity, and yet we fail to manage the money that God has given us? The point I'm trying to make is we have a money problem. We have a problem with money. We struggle to manage what God has graciously given us. And so the great news is today, I understand this can feel a little bit depressing. Wow, this is not the way I wanted to start this morning. But here's the great news. God is the solution. God offers practical tips on how to handle money in His Word. That He offers us solutions that can literally change our financial status. That we don't have to be trapped in our circumstances anymore. In fact, what's amazing about money in the Bible is, did you know that there are over 2,300 verses about money in the Bible? Now, that's hard to understand, but if you were to take prayer and faith, all the verses on prayer and faith, there would be about double on money. Jesus, about 15% of everything that He taught when He was on earth, dealt with money or possessions. So what we understand about the Bible is how we manage what God has given us is important to God. This is not a category we somehow, even though it feels uncomfortable and we don't like talking about it, that we can just skip past. No, God teaches a lot about this topic because He understands where our treasure is, our heart follows. And so we're going to jump in this morning in this series called Money Matters, where we just talk about practical tips the Bible offers us so we can experience peace in our money. And so we're going to start in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 is in a segment of the Bible called the Gospels. And the Gospels look at Jesus's life, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his teaching ministry. And you will notice throughout the Gospels, when Jesus taught a crowd, He would often teach in a story. He would teach parables. A couple months ago, we did a series on some of the parables that Jesus taught. And there was a lot of people who loved to hear Jesus teach because when He told a story, He made it come alive and people could understand what He was saying. And that's exactly what He does when it comes to money. He teaches a parable, the parable of the talents. Let's take a look at it in verse 14 of Matthew 25. He says, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So here, from the get-go, this starting of the story, there's this master. This master who, according to what he's giving out, has been pretty successful. We would say in our culture, he's rich, he's wealthy. He's in that 12% of people who are financially strong. And so the master is getting ready to go on a journey. And we have to remember, this is ancient times. And so a journey for them was like a year to 5 years. It wasn't like they hopped on a plane and went from here to there and back quickly. No, a journey for this master was a long, significant journey. It would take anywhere from a year to 5 years. And so he doesn't want his business to stop. And so he finds three servants and he entrusts his wealth to them. And right here from the get-go, we see a little bit of about our relationship with God and ourselves when it comes to money. Because the truth is that God entrusts you with his wealth, right? God entrusts you to manage what he's given you well. And the quicker you can understand this fundamental truth about money, the better off you will be. That everything that you have is God's. You aren't managing your money. You are stewarding God's. James says it like this, that every perfect gift that we have is from above. Now, I would bet you probably feel a little tension with that. I even do. If you got a little bit of pride in your life, some of us, we push back a little bit and we say, well, yeah, I get that, Drew, but like, here's the reality of my life. I'm the one waking up early Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm the one getting my car, commuting to work. I'm the one who's spending all this time trying to provide for my family. Where is God in all of that? I get, like, he says it's his, but I'm the one doing the work. But here's what we fail to realize, is that it's God who gives you breath in your lungs to go to work. It is God who gets you safely to work every week. It's God who gave you the ability and the mind to do what you do. And here's the truth. At any moment, God can take it away and you will quickly realize where he is in that equation. And we are just managing what he entrusts to us. And so the master, he entrusts to his servants. And to one, he gives 5 bags of gold. To one, he gives 2, and the other, he gives 1. And again, we see something about God, that God disperses his wealth differently. That the truth for all of our lives is our financial picture, our income, looks different for all of us. We don't all have the same income. That God chooses to disperse his wealth, we don't even fully understand why or how, but in this story it says, according to the servant's ability. So we know from a business standpoint, this makes sense. This is not about fairness, this is about wisdom. That the master is going to give the most money to the servant who has already have a proven track record of handling money. And the same for the second one. He gives a little bit less because he's less proven. And the last one, a little less because he hasn't proven anything. Because the Bible says that he gives it according to money. Now pause here. We can't conclude from that truth that if you're rich and you're poor, somehow you are blessed less by God. That's not what the scriptures are saying. But we have to understand that God, with his wealth, he chooses to disperse it however he wants. But that leads us to a place in our life where many of us believe one of the greatest lies when it comes to money management. That the enemy whispers in our ear, if you just made a little bit more, everything would be better. Right? We believe that lie. Like, if I just had a little more income, it would change my financial picture. Here's the truth. It wouldn't. It would just make it worse because the sums would get bigger and bigger, right? And so we believe this lie. And so let me ask you this question as we think about the topic of money, right? When it comes to your finances, why would God trust you with more if he can't trust you with little? I mean, honestly, think about that. Why in the world would God give you more income when you can't handle the income that you have right now? In fact, this afternoon, I'm gonna tell you to evaluate your finances. And when you do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself a question. When you look at your finances and you get an understanding of how you manage your money, ask yourself this. If you were God, would you give you more based on how you managed what he gave you? Be honest with yourself. Like, would God give you more based off of what you've done with what he has? Because we believe the lie that if I had more, things would be different. And the truth is, they probably wouldn't be. And so this master goes on this journey. He gives the bags and trusts it to his servants. And then they, over time, do things with it. The first servant who was given 5 bags of gold, the Bible tells us that he doubles it. So he goes from 5 bags of gold to 10. The second servant does the exact same thing. He was given 2 bags, he doubles it, and he makes it 4. And then the last servant buries the money out of fear. And so at some point, we know that the master who entrusted his wealth to his servants comes back. Verse 19, it says this, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen to these words. He says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. This happens to the first 2 servants. Right? The first 2 servants, 5 bags, 2, turns to 10 and 4. The master says, great job. Great job. I've entrusted you with little. You managed it well. You invested it wisely. Now I'm going to give you more. So again, it shows us the relationship that God has with us. When we manage money well, God blesses us. It doesn't always look like he's going to give us more income, but he always blesses. But then comes the third servant. Look what he says. It says that the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And listen to his words. He says, so I was afraid. I want to pause here. Because here's the truth. When it comes to following Jesus, anytime we step out in fear, it never leads to where we want to go. It never leads to the outcomes we desire. In fact, here's the truth. How many times does the Bible say over and over again to us following Jesus, do not be afraid? And yet too many of us, when it comes to money, we live in fear, which freezes us. And it's exactly what happens to the servant. He says, I was afraid. So I went and I hid your money, your gold in the ground. So here is what it belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers. So when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. I love this dialogue between the third servant and his master. His master looks at him and is like, hold on a second. Wait, you've seen how I've acted with my money. You've seen me step out in faith and scatter seed where I have not scattered and sow seed where I have not. You've seen me live in faith with my money, and yet you chose to do the very opposite and be afraid and bury my money. He's like, the least you could have done is put it with the bank and got me a little bit of interest. So the point I think Jesus is making from a big picture is this. God judges you not by the amount you've been given, but by how you steward it. Can I tell you today, God really does care deeply with how you manage and steward what he has graciously given you. It means a lot to God how you handle what he has been given to you. And so the question that we're going to ask throughout this series is, how do we steward God's money well? What does that look like? When I stand before God and he evaluates how I handled his money, what will he say to me? Well done, or you wicked, lazy servant? That's all based on how we steward what he's given us. So I want to start a journey this morning of us understanding good biblical stewardship. And so the first step in that journey when it comes to our finances is we just simply have to know how much we have. What's so interesting about this story is the amounts are specific. 5 bags, 2 bags, 1 bag. We got to know how much we are dealing with. And so this week, I would encourage you as a family, as a spouse, as a single person, step back and take a look at your financial picture. Where are you and what does it look like? And if we're honest, for some of us, this is a scary thing. Because we love to live in ignorance. Because if we just ignore our money, the problems that are there, we don't know they're there, so we just ignore them, right? And here's the problem. You can ignore your financial picture for only so long, because eventually it will catch up to you. And you don't want that to happen before it's too late. Because here's the truth. You will never fix a problem you're not willing to address. And so for some of you, this might be the first time you've ever looked at your finances and be like, okay, here's a picture of where I'm at. Right? And what that means is I'm going to go home this week and I'm going to make a list. I'm going to get some paper out. I'm going to do it on my computer. I'm going to make an inventory. Okay, I'm going to inventory. How much income do I bring in a month? What does that look like? And how much debts do I have? Like, how much do I have with credit card debt or car loans or student loans or whatever it is? You're going to make a list of your assets, how much equity you have in your home or the cars that you own or whatever it is. You're going to make an assessment of your investments, your retirement accounts, stocks or bonds that you have. You're going to get a clear picture of where you are. This is really important. Here's why. Let me put it into a different context. You know, the flu is going around like crazy. And so many people are finding themselves in doctor's office trying to find remedies to what they're dealing with. And we all have been there before where we sit in the doctor's office and we wait for the doctor. And when the doctor walks into that waiting room, when he walks into that room you're sitting in, I can tell you what the doctor doesn't immediately do. He doesn't immediately walk in and say, hey, just take this and do that and do that and you'll be fine. No, it wouldn't make any sense, right? Because he has no clue what's going on in your body. The first thing the doctor is going to do is evaluate where you are. He's going to say, hey, what's going on? What's hurting? He's going to try to understand what's going on in your body so he can evaluate and remedy, bring priorities to your health to help fix the problem that you're having. And that's why it's so important with our financial status. We have to understand what we have. Whether it's a lot or a little, doesn't matter. Knowing what you have begins to allow you to make priorities to get to where you want to go. And once we know what we have, the second step is you have to know where your money is going. What's amazing to me in America is many people have subscriptions on their credit card that they have no clue are there and they aren't using where their money is going to. The amount of money that we waste that we don't even know we're wasting is astronomical. And so we have to take an inventory of where we are spending our money. The next paper you're going to get out or computer document you're going to make is you're going to document your spending. You're going to get your credit card statement out. You're going to get your bank account statement out. You're going to look at your debit cards, and you're going to make a list of where you are spending your money. Like, where is my money going? Where's it going? How much am I spending on loans and housing and food and supplies, entertainment, my car maintenance and my gas, my utilities, my vacations, my insurance, my gifts, all the things. And get a good picture of where you are spending your money. And here's what happens when you do those two things. When you know how much you have and you know where your money is going, it now sets you up to begin to course correct. It now sets you up to have an understanding of your financial situation, where your money is going. And now what you get to do is tell your money where it should go. You see, too many of us, our money dictates where it goes, and we need to change that. We need to begin to tell our money what we want to spend on it. And so in this journey, as we look at what we're spending our money on, it gives you the freedom to say, why am I wasting money on this? I don't need this in my life. This is causing problems. And we get to cut those things and now put our money toward things that we actually prioritize in our life. So let me give you the first step in this journey. And I believe this is one of the most important steps when it comes to financial freedom. I promise you, if you're willing to live by this step over time and hard sacrifices, it will change your financial future. And it's simple, and yet it's hard to live out. The step that I would encourage everybody to do this week, as you understand your finances and you know where your money is going, create a budget and live by it. It's as simple as that. Now, let me bring a caveat to it. You have to create a budget that works for your income. One of the greatest problems in America is our budgets are based off 105% of what we bring in. And we wonder why we have a financial problem. Create a budget that works with the means you have. And yes, that means you're going to have to make some sacrifices. Newsflash, you don't need Netflix. Newsflash, you don't need to eat out all the time. Newsflash, you can give up a vacation to set your future up for success. We have to create a budget, and the budget is the law. We don't break it, we stick to it. And yes, it's gonna hurt in the front run. It's gonna be painful, I promise you. But I promise you it will be worth it. And so I'll just use my life as an example. My wife and I, we live by a budget. We have apps that tell us exactly what we can spend on a certain thing. They notify us when we go over. Right? And our budget we live by is simple. It's 10, 80, 10. We live by every year. We meet and we gather, we adjust things, but we live by this budget. The first 10% is God's. It's non-negotiable for us. We believe Jehovah Jireh is our provider, and so we depend on him, and so we give our first fruits back to him. We posture our family, we teach our kids that God will provide more than enough when we give to what is his. And so that first 10% just goes back to God. And then we live off of 80%. And to get there wasn't fun. When we were young, Ashley and I, we barely made ends meet. We barely made it happen. We ate the dollar menu more than I care to admit, but it set us up for our future. And we saved 10% of our income. And that 10% is for our dreams in the future, things that we want, that we desire, to save for our kids' college or whatever priorities that we set aside that savings to just have fun with. And it's transformed the way we think about money. Money in our house, honestly, isn't that much of a stressor. I've never been up late at night thinking about money. And it's not because we're crazy wealthy, it's because we've followed God's path for our money. Here's the reality for many Americans today. Money is the greatest stressor in their life. Many of you feel that today. Because money is causing tension in your marriage and in your relationships. Money is causing tension in your body. It's causing health conditions because how much you stress and think over it. Money is causing anxiety and worry in your life. And can I tell you, it doesn't have to. You can experience peace in your finances if you're willing to sacrifice and follow God's plan. I don't want you to be stressed over money. As your pastor, as your shepherd, I want you to walk into the freedom that I experience every day on this topic. So as we go through this journey, would you be willing to do it God's way? Would you be willing to say, you know what, God? I've tried America's way, and let's be honest, it sucks. It's not working. I'm tired of being stressed. I'm tired of worrying all day long about this. Maybe we just try it God's way. And so let me leave you with Jesus' words. He says, so do not worry. You don't have to worry, he says. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Let's pray together. Father, I know money is not a fun topic. It causes a lot of stress, anxiety, tension, awkwardness. But God, I pray that you give us the boldness together as a family to say, let's just do it God's way. When have we ever gone wrong just following your path for our lives, God? It always leads to life and life to the fullest. It's time we stop buying the lie that we need more to be happy. No, God, you are more than enough to satisfy our cravings and our desires. Help us to see that, God, that your way is better. May we believe it enough to make the changes necessary to walk in your ways. Help us, God. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.